Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I haven't studied the film, but watching the game, Peyton Wilson should be a hugger at Children's Hospital because that's how he takes on the ball.
I mean, Doug!
Woof!
Doug! We heard Chris Hoke on with Starkey, and Hokey said he ain't seen a pair of inside linebackers get pancaked as often as the Steelers pair, and I thought that was harsh. And then Doug comes right out swinging, saying that Peyton Wilson should be a hugger at Children's Hospital because that's how he tackles?
Wow.
Did he go too far? I don't know. But Peyton Wilson has not been good through two games. Patrick Queen, I feel like, is skating by. I feel like Patrick Queen isn't getting quite the criticism that Peyton Wilson is, and yet he is a highly compensated professional football player
right.
who has definitely not been horrendous, but has also not lived up to his contract.
He hasn't, but sometimes he'll flash. You know, sometimes
he flashed in the game on Sunday.
Yeah, a couple times, and you don't see Peyton Wilson flash, so it's like there is the cover right there because it's like, oh, he made like a play where he shot through the gap and got a TFL. Like, oh, he got that. Look, oh. But you don't see Peyton Wilson do that. So,
do you think Angela in Beachview wishes that Peyton Wilson would flash her?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. She probably want to flash him, too.
Somebody texted in the other day, and I'm never going to forget this, that Angela in Beachview is actually 24 years old. She's just been on menthol cigarettes since she's 11.
Or you sounded like her the other day. That's what I want.
I did sound like her the other day. I'm still working my way through that. Caleb Johnson gets benched from kickoffs because he makes an egregious error. That is called accountability. I think in any walk of life, any of us can appreciate accountability. You screw up, there are going to be ramifications. You make the same mistake twice, there are going to be ramifications. Caleb Johnson, game one, fumbles the ball on a kickoff. That's no good. He gets to go out there again and makes an error that we hadn't seen happen in the NFL in 45 years. One's no good, two's unforgivable. See ya, you're out. I'm wondering, though, if a guy like Caleb Johnson is held accountable for his mistakes, why Peyton Wilson can't be, why Chuck Clark would continue to get to play, why Keanu Benton would continue to get to play nose, while their mistakes haven't been as egregious or historical as the one that Caleb Johnson made. I feel like going into week three, after you said you would fix things from week one to week two defensively, I think now would be the time to make a couple of changes. And I'm not saying that Peyton Wilson needs to be benched, but what I am suggesting is, on early downs, maybe Cole Holcomb gets to play next to Patrick Queen. What do you think?
Well, I think that you can bench and slap, I guess, Caleb Johnson because it's easier to replace on special teams, kickoff return.
Sure.
Especially if you're giving a rookie an opportunity, like you know in the back of your mind, you don't really have to give that rookie that opportunity of being a kick returner, even he wasn't a kick return in college. Like, what is he doing back there? You're just trying to get him reps. So it's easier to replace a kick returner and a rookie and sit him down than your inside backer or one of your safeties, because you look behind those guys, you don't feel the quality of play is going to be at the level that you want with the guys behind them. And then the depth behind that, there's nothing. So I think it's almost like a work through situation with somebody like Peyton Wilson. Like, we really don't have anybody that we really can count on that can play that position. Cole Holcomb, he's coming back from injury. Yeah, we want to give him an opportunity. Maybe we'll work him in a little bit, but do we really believe that he could be a down in and down out player? Probably not. So Peyton Wilson's going through and has his warts right now and has his issues. We're going to have to work through that because we really don't have anywhere else to turn. Mm-hmm. Legitimately, they do have places to turn, like Cole Holcomb, but a legit option to turn to, they don't have it.
I feel good about Cole Holcomb. You do wonder about the volume of snaps.
Right.
And if he's able to handle that after what
he
went
through.
Do
they feel good about Cole Holcomb? Because clearly, like, in the NFL and in sports, like, they'll tell you how they feel.
Right.
You know, teams tell you how they feel about their players. If they feel really good about somebody, you'll see them out there. You know, you'll see them. They'll be a starter, or they'll get a lot of reps. They'll switch in and out with another guy. They tell you how they feel about everybody, in the NFL at least. So I don't know how they actually feel about Cole Holcomb. We may think that, you know, yeah, okay, he deserves some reps. He came back from an injury. He's battled back. He, you know, maybe, you know, has made a couple plays in preseason, but I don't know if they feel the same way.
Well, he's played 13 snaps on defense in 2 games. That's not a lot.
That's telling us how they feel about him, mm-hmm. right now at least.
Let me tell you how I feel about him. Can it be worse? Question mark.
Maybe.
It always can. It always can. It's one of my least favorite bits of analysis that people do, and I've just fallen victim to it myself, but I wouldn't mind mixing him in a little bit. And I don't know that he's necessarily what they need. I think he attacks downhill more than a Peyton Wilson. I think he attacks downhill a little bit more than a Patrick Queen, but it's not like he's a Landon Roberts. It's not like he's Vince Williams. It's not like he's Lawrence Timmons, and let's call it what it is here too. Those guys are few and far between in the NFL anymore. They did bring in Jawan Bentley. Damn it.
Game's off. Oh, you took the shirt down too.
Oh, I did. I came in here on Monday and I lifted that thing off. I threw that sucker in a corner over there in the producer room.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Been staring at it for months, that 13-9 shirt. Anyway, they got Jawan Bentley. And you want to talk about a thumper? You want to talk about a downhill player? The last time he was healthy was 2023. He had 114 tackles. He had 4.5 sacks. He had a bunch of TFLs. He had a forced fumble. They are telling us, at least they are acknowledging, that they're not good enough at that position from a depth perspective. I don't think it's all that realistic that Jawan Bentley slides in and plays this week meaningful defensive snaps against the New England Patriots. I just don't see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
Jabril Peppers did not play any defensive snaps last week. He did play a little bit on special teams. He didn't play on the defense. I wouldn't mind if you go out there and you suck again defensively, particularly stopping the run against the New England Patriots and Ramondre Stevenson and their cast of characters. All right, the following week, maybe a little bit more Bentley. The following week, maybe a little bit more Jabril Peppers, because the thing we know about those two, they gonna hit you.
Yeah, they'll thump.
They'll thump. Now, that's going to leave you exposed probably in pass coverage, but you can't give up 299 rushing yards to the Baltimore Ravens and then give up a combined 299 rushing yards in each of your first 2 games and not fix that, especially not when you're, let's just call it like it is, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, you're supposed to be tough. You're supposed to be physical. When Derek Harmon was drafted, we hear he's got Steelers DNA. I don't know what that means anymore. Like, what it's supposed to mean is we're going to beat you up on both lines of scrimmage. The reason why they're 1-1 and could be 0-2 is because they got beat up on both lines of scrimmage these first 2 games. So if it happens again, I'm playing Bentley, I'm playing Peppers, and you just see how it works. Now, in the interim, I would play more Cole Holcomb this week. I'd also move Keanu Benton off the nose, and I'd see what Y.A. Black can do there. Am I overly optimistic that Y.A. Black could handle those responsibilities in Game 3 as a rookie? No, not really, because people who watch these things closely and break tape down in a way that I could only dream to, they say he hasn't been overly impressive to this point either. Uh-huh. But I can't just roll the same defense out there against the Patriots and say, all right, guys, we're going to play better.
Right.
And that seems to be Mike Tomlin's answer.
Uh-huh.
Hey, coach, what are you guys going to do this week? Oh, we just got to play better.
We got to communicate better.
We got to communicate better. Huh. That's what you said from week one to week two. And the communication got worse. And Mike said, oh, well, the run defense got better. No, it didn't. You gave up a 19-yard touchdown on a 3rd and goal from the 19. Had never happened before in NFL history. And their running back did not get touched. I don't want to hear that you were better. And I don't want to hear we're getting into the lab. No. Make some personnel changes. You don't have to bench guys. You don't have to cut guys, but can you play a Holcomb a little bit more? Can you play a Benton a little bit less at the nose and just see how it works, please?
Mm-hmm.
That's how You keep people accountable. And yeah, it is easy to bench a rookie on kickoff when he makes an error that we haven't seen in 45 years. It shouldn't be that hard to divvy up the snap count defensively a little bit different when you're one of the worst defenses in the NFL statistically and have been now for like 10 games.
It's just crazy how they get pushed around, though. Like, I could see, like, we talk about schematics. Like, is it schematic? Yeah, maybe a little bit. But, like, if you watch the games, go back and watch the first two games. I'm sure that people have noticed it whenever they were actually watching it, whenever it was on TV. But they get pushed around.
Yeah.
You know, through and through. Like, not just the D-line, but the linebackers clearly get pushed, like, pushed around. Never seen such a thing.
And that might be the bigger issue. I say move Benton off the nose, play a little bit more Cole Holcomb. Here's the quiet part out loud. What if they don't have the solutions on the roster?
I don't think so. That's exactly what I was trying to say with the Peyton Wilson deal.
Uh-huh.
I think they don't have the solutions.
And look, Derek Harmon might help. He should help. He's a first-round pick. He's not going to solve all the issues. He's not. Because one man cannot solve all those issues unless, I don't know, is Aaron Donald walking through that door?
Right.
That one, might help.
Yeah, one man that's never played a snap of live regular season NFL ball. He's not going to be able to solve the issues.
He is still, with all due respect, to a mature young man and a pick we were very excited about. Until he suits up and jogs onto the field for the Pittsburgh Steelers, my man's an Oregon Duck.
Yep.
He ain't done anything in the NFL. So to count on him, you need to, because that's why you drafted him. But to think he's going to solve all the issues, I don't think that's realistic. Certainly not in the early going. 412-928-9370. You got any thoughts on how to fix the defense? We'd love to hear them. Put on your coaching caps at 412-928-9370. Texter writes, in the entire borough of Penn Hills, there's not one Sheets.
No.
Monongalia County in West Virginia is actually just a giant Sheets. So it's the opposite of Penn Hills. Is there really not one Sheets in Penn Hills?
Guess not.
We're going to have to get our franchise going out there, man.
I mean, they're everywhere, though. I don't know how that there's not one there.
Texter writes, and you know a town is hella busy when you have three Sheets gas stations.
That's yes.
Right. That's exactly right. How would you fix the Steelers defense? 412-928-9370. There's a stat that's been floating around social media that is very concerning regarding this defense. How do the Steelers combat that? We'll get into that a little bit when we come back, too.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And morning show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. I swallowed a wad of toothpaste this morning.
How'd you do that?
It's hard to say.
Yeah. How did you do that?
I over-pasted my toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wound up swallowing just a massive chunk. So I did the thing. I'm like spitting some of it out. Then I tried to gurgle, but it was too far down. And it was unpleasant. I've never felt more like a child in the last couple of years.
Really?
Yeah.
Shocking.
It's like getting shampoo in your eye.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe here I am, my wife's in the next room, probably hear me. Can't believe here I am at 4 in the morning gurgling because I got friggin' toothpaste in my throat. And now my throat is like half numb.
Mm.
Yeah, still.
Yeah, that also takes years to digest too.
That can't be right.
That's what I heard. Maybe that or gum. Maybe I'm
I think
gum.
You might be thinking about the gum. You ever swallow gum?
No.
Yeah. When I was younger. For no reason.
On average, you just did it for fun?
I think I just did it. Yeah.
Like, let's see how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
Try to impress your friends, perhaps? Like, oh, look what I can do. I can swallow gum.
No, I don't think it was that. I think you I just did it. Yeah.
AI overview on the Google.com says the common misconception is that it takes 7 years to digest gum. However, this is not true. When swallowed, the body cannot break down these components. Instead, the gum passes through the digestive system relatively intact.
Oh, okay.
What if it came out in bubble form? What's your favorite kind of gum? I'm a big juicy fruit guy. It only lasts for 30 seconds, but it's delightful for those 30 seconds.
Bubble mint.
Bubble mint?
Yeah. It's like bubble gum, but with mint.
I'm familiar.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite.
Harry, what about you? Big Wrigley guy?
I haven't chewed gum enough to have like a favorite, I would say now, like it's not habitual, but spearmint flavor is one that I
do like the spearmint.
Prefer, yeah. Or anything, yeah, with fruit.
Mm. Like Big Red?
Stuff.
Big Red's good.
Yeah.
Big Red's good.
It's not my favorite.
Makes me nauseous, the Big Red does, ever since I had my experience with fire water, right?
Yeah, that'll do that, yeah. For sure.
I'll have that around Christmas time, though, the Big Red, because it tastes like cinnamon and holidays.
So you'll just walk around during Christmas season chewing Big Red to be in the spirit.
My mom usually buys them and then gives them to me.
So, yeah, okay.
Respect.
Over time, she'll just be like, hey, you want a piece of gum? And I'm like, oh, look, it's Big Red. I like that.
You seeing what I'm seeing over there, too?
Mm-hmm.
The giant booger hanging out of his nose?
Yeah, of course.
That's right there.
Is there really?
Yeah, there is. I think that's what friends do, is they point those things out.
Yeah. So it doesn't fall on the microphone, you know?
So that Bechtold's not pushing buttons and it gets stuck in his fingernails.
I think it's awesome that he and I are opposites, because he'll sanitize the hell out of this desk and the microphone and all the keyboards and mice that we have in here producing, and I'm the opposite. I don't care.
Yeah, with all due respect,
germs are inevitable.
If you produced before yourself, I feel like you would.
I think Bechtold gets that from Starkey, though.
He might.
I don't think he ever did that until Starkey started doing it, and it's like, okay, like maybe I should start doing it.
Starkey wipes this whole studio down.
Yes, he does.
It looks like Italy during COVID, and Crowley's he walks in here spraying everything.
Crowley's making fun of me, but in the early stages, your feet would meet the desk regularly, mm-hmm, as you would talk.
Yeah, you don't do that anymore.
Well, Starkey complained about it, and I didn't want to be rude to Joe by putting my feet up. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. This is a stat that was all over the place on social media yesterday. Something we have talked about, but we didn't have the statistical backing. When teams run towards TJ Watt, they've done so 13 times this year. They're only averaging 2.5 yards a carry. When teams run away from TJ Watt, 34 carries, 6 yards a pop, Doran.
Ooh, man.
And I've seen a lot of people on social media say, you got to move Watt around. I agree, you got to move Watt around. That's not going to help this. Guess what's going to happen? If TJ Watt, instead of lining up over the right tackle, lines up over the left tackle, you know what they're going to do? And this is crazy. Offensive coordinator's real smart. A quarterback in the line of scrimmage, he's going to point. He's going to gesticulate. They're going to run the ball to the right side. So I don't think that's a solution. What can you do, Dickerson?
Well, what's horrible about that stat, moving forward, is that they are running towards a pretty good run-stopping outside linebacker.
Alex Highsmith.
Correct.
Who's not going to be playing.
Correct.
And it's going to be even worse, is what you're saying.
Yes, and Nick Herbig is not a very good run-stopper. He's a good situational pass rusher. So you're kind of hoping that Jack Sawyer maybe, the bigger body guy, can go in there and maybe set the edge. But it is going to get probably worse, I would assume, moving forward.
So it's funny you say that, because I have said, all right, let's see a little bit more Cole Holcomb. Let's move Benton off the nose. I wouldn't mind early down seeing Jack Sawyer. And then in situational pass rush situations, that's redundant, I would play Nick Herbig.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Herbig is like atrocious against the run, but he's not Highsmith.
No.
And you're right. That is a damning statistic, because Cam Hayward's also positioned on that side too. Cam is still an elite defender, and he's a good run stopper, but they're running to the outside. And so that would call into question Alex Highsmith, who has never been somebody that you would feel great about running at over the course of his career. Hasn't played well this year at setting the edge. And now you're going to have Herbig? I think you might have to mix in a little bit more Sawyer. You're not going to see Highsmith play for a few weeks here. Now, it's not as bad of an injury as it was thought of initially when you hear high ankle. It's not as severe. It's not a 4 to 6 week injury, but you're not going to have him for at least the next couple of weeks.
Right.
So what the hell do you do? 412-928-9370. Texter writes in, how about Big League Chew? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Turn your mouth purple.
Mm-hmm. Mm. The grape?
Oh, the grape.
Yeah, it's the best.
Oh.
Well, is there any other flavors, really, other than bubble and grape?
I would always go with the grape.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't alternate between that and the sunflower seeds when you're running out to right field because you're bad at baseball.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't know about that.
But. I'm sorry. I was just conveying my experience.
Oh, okay.
So the Steelers are getting gashed in the run, particularly when the opposition is running away from T.J. Watt. What should they do about it? What can they do about it? Would you like to see more Jack Sawyer? 412-928-9370. Take your calls, texts, and tweets on that. Derek Harmon limited in practice, but it sounds like maybe he thinks he can play. Do you rush him back for this game? We'll get into that a little bit as well.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. Sly 79.
Yeah, he's old.
And he's still defending that empire, man. At 79. Don't you mess with that guy's empire.
Nope. I'd want to retire. I'd be done.
Be done acting?
Yes.
I feel like it's a young man's role for Sly, too. Like, I think his love interest is like 40.
Isn't he like going out and like fighting and stuff?
Yes. Like, I mean, he should be coaching the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Right.
Apparently, the reviews are great.
Like, oh, yeah, it's
like,
a good show.
Like 100 on Rotten Tomatoes. Have you seen it?
No, I've heard it's a good show.
Because you're a big Sylvester Stallone guy.
Yeah, it's a good. I heard it's a good show. There's nothing really he makes as of late, I guess, that is bad. He's made a couple bad movies. Copland. That's
never,
terrible.
Never seen it.
Terrible movie.
I love the one, The Rookie. What is it? CBS. They've got some shows, man. America's Most Watched Network. And this guy, The Rookie, he's been The Rookie for like 8 years.
Yep. Yeah.
So he's a new time cop. He's like a 50-year-old guy. He's a rookie on the force. All right, well, we're 8 seasons into this sucker.
Right, yeah. What is
he ain't a rookie anymore. He's a seasoned vet. This guy's about to get his pension.
Right.
The hell are you talking about, The Rookie? Fan Morning Show Twitter polls brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. You asked this question, or you stated an opinion before the show, and I think it could be the subject of our Twitter poll today. Is this a must-win for the Steelers? I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. We're in week three. We got a must-win game. I kind of think it is. Why do you think it is?
Got a rebound. I mean, you got to, because the way to win, I think, this game is to show that you fixed some of the issues. And if you win this game, then you're, I mean, not just like win by 2 points like you did against the Jets. Like, it's not going to have to, it can't come down to a last second field goal. Like, you got to win this game. Like, win. If you win, then you could kind of see maybe that they fix some of the issues. And if you don't win, and maybe it is, even though you do win, a last second field goal and you only win by a couple points and still the same issues, it's still the same problem. So, like, you're still not going to feel that good.
I think that's really well said. And Rodgers sort of touched on that yesterday. It's not a binary, but that's sort of the business they're in. That is the business they're in. So first and foremost, win the game. But yeah, it'd be nice if they won the game and you went, oh, wow, the offensive line actually took a step forward. Ooh, they won the game. Oh, wow, the defensive front, they played a lot better. And I was hoping that we would see that against the Seahawks because they talked a big game about fixing it. And, okay, they can give up 184 rushing yards or whatever it was like they did week one, but it was still really bad. So I'm with you. You got to win, and you got to look like a better football team.
Right.
I was encouraged by week one because I didn't think that they would have that path to victory a ton this year, and they hadn't for the last half decade where your quarterback wins you a game. That part was encouraging. They got whooped pretty much everywhere else. Well, they got whooped everywhere on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They're also a favorite, man. They're on the road. They're a point and a half favorite. Go win the football game.
Yeah.
I think Drake May is a specimen. He's also a second-year player. Go beat him. Take the run away from him. Beat him. Stephon Diggs, good player. He's not, I don't think, better than Njigba.
Right now, for sure.
For sure. I don't think he's better than Garrett Wilson. They got some dudes, but this is a team on the road that you're favored against. You need to go in there and you need to take care of business. So do you think it's a must-win, 412-928-9370? If it were a must-win, I think you'd see Derek Harmon play. Here's what he had to say about working his way back from injury.
I'm very anxious, man. I just want to get out there and help the team any way I can right now. Right now, my main focus is trying to be prepared and make sure I'm healthy enough to get out there.
He was optimistic that he's close to 100%. He practiced in a limited capacity yesterday. Do you rush him back?
Man.
And I'll be clear, I actually don't think he's going to play. I think he needs a full week of full participation as a rookie before Tomlin's going to play him. But that's not the question. The question is, if he's healthy, should he play?
If he's healthy, he should play. But if he's 90%, I don't think so. I don't think you want to rush back a rookie and then, worry about him re-injuring that knee.
And then you wind up missing him for half the year, and we saw what happened with Roman Wilson last year. Do you ever trust him to get up to speed?
But if he doesn't play this week, is he going to travel next week to Ireland? And then after that is the bye week, right?
Yeah.
And so what's the deal there? What's your plans there? If he doesn't play this week, are you going to really travel him to Ireland to play his first game in Ireland all the way, in a different country and then come back and then have the bye week? Or do you just wait till after the bye week to bring him back?
This is an educated guess, though I've been told nothing. I feel like if he doesn't play this week, you don't play him until after the bye.
Right.
And you just let him get healthy.
Yeah.
And you run him out there then. Routine is something I've learned from you. Routine is such a big deal. You want to talk about a totally different experience? Let's say he's not healthy this week, practices in full next week, then you're changing time zones. You're going to a different country. Everything is different. You're driving on the wrong side of the road whenever you get over there. That's not a position where you're going to succeed. And as excited as I am for the game and the atmosphere and all that, watch the college football game in Ireland. That turf was a disaster. It's a different field at Croke Park. But in a lot of these games, the Brazil game last year... The turf for soccer, they do weird stuff over there in Europe. I'm not going to pretend to understand. They got Euros and stuff, too. I don't know. But I don't know that that's the best-case scenario for running them out there.
Yeah.
So, must win, it kind of feels like that. You can't start 1-2 when we know what the back of the schedule looks like. But you do need to have the full scope of the season in your mind, and it would probably be short-sighted to play Derek Harmon this week.
Man, if you start 1-2,
yeesh,
and your win is only by 2 points to the Jets, that is tough.
They could easily
be 0-3.
Yeah.
To mediocre to not great football teams.
Ifs, buts, candy, nuts. But, yeah, if they had, if Kenneth Gainwell didn't force that fumble week one, you're sitting here probably at 0-2 right now with way more questions than answers. So is Sunday a must win? You can give us a ring on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, 412-928-9370. Also, would you rush Derek Harmon back to play in this game? 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Pat Bostic going to be joining us in 10 minutes. He is our quarterback guru. He is a great man. We love Pat. He texted us a couple of reps of Broderick Jones the other day. Neither one of us responded. I don't know why. But they were bad reps from Broderick.
Yeah.
And this is a man who was calling Broderick out before anybody else, really.
Yeah.
So we will get into that, a ton to cover with our guy, Pat Bostic. Some injury news from the Patriots. I don't like this, Dickerson. I mean, it's good for the man, but Christian Gonzalez hasn't played the first 2 weeks of the season. He hurt his hamstring on the first day of padded practice at training camp July 28th. He practiced on Wednesday. It looks like, unless there's a setback, he's going to go. And how about this one? Last year, the Patriots played the Seahawks. Christian Gonzalez, mano a mano against DK Metcalf, gave up 2 catches for 10 yards.
Wow. Wow.
So a matchup to watch.
Yeah, I mean, the Seahawks had guys out too. They had Witherspoon out, right?
Yeah.
And it didn't really matter. So
I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. Christian Gonzalez, good player.
Yep.
Second team All-Pro last year. I think a guy who could ultimately wind up being one of the best 2 or 3, 4 or 5 corners in the NFL. And for them to get him back would be a huge deal because don't look now, the Patriots, their run defense, they're giving up like 61 yards a game, or they gave up 61 yards last week. Their pass defense is the worst in the NFL. Uh-huh. You get Christian Gonzalez back. That's going to help.
Yeah.
And they lead the NFL in sacks. They had 28 sacks last year. They got 9 through 2 games. You think Vrabel helps a little bit?
A little bit.
And they spent some money in free agency. Texter, players are weak in today's society. Ronnie Lott played without a finger. Harmon needs to play. Learn to play in pain, brother. Oh, okay. That's it.
Yeah.
Just learn to play in pain. Ronnie Lott.
Ronnie Lott. Cut his pinky off. I mean, come on.
That texter is everybody's uncle.
Yep. Yep.
My uncle always be saying stuff like that at Thanksgiving. Just about the good old days.
Yeah.
Just rub some dirt on it. You'll be fine. Rub some dirt. You have a lower body injury and you're 300 pounds. You want to make sure that structurally you're stable before you rush a rookie out there to play, because
you're going to protect your investment.
You got to protect your investment.
Your investments are higher than ever. Ronnie Lott was a big investment back in the day. He's a Hall of Fame safety, but like, he wasn't making nearly as much as what these guys are making now. So you have to protect it.
If I may,
mm-hmm.
I think a pinky less valuable than a knee.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Would you agree with that, Harry? Knees are more important than your pinky?
Yeah.
People get knee replacements. I feel like you lose a pinky, you just
lose it.
You just lose it.
It's gone.
You
really don't
you
need
just move
pinky.
Right on.
You need your thumb. You don't need your pinky.
Thumb, really important.
Yes.
Big toe.
Look at that.
Also important. But who said... Never mind.
Who said what?
I was going to make a joke at one of our coworkers' expense, and I decided not to. I'm an adult. Look at me growing up.
Yeah.
How mature I am.
Yeah, you just crapped yourself the other day.
That has nothing to do with maturity.
Yes, it does. That's what babies do.
You tell me you never farted. And
no.
You've never pooed your pants.
No. Nope.
Not once.
Nope. Nope.
What about the crack? You never...
The what?
The crack. Like, doesn't make it all the way to the boxers, but you have a little bit of an issue?
No.
Never once?
No.
Well, good for you.
Thanks. I'm an adult.
Doran's got...
I know when to let him go and when not to.
Big Doran Dickerson has control of his sphincter. Whoa, boy. Rub it in, why don't you?
I mean, the same, like, within hours, you go from crying to sharting.
That's right.
And then you say that you're growing up.
Yeah, that was a babyish 3 hours for me.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife said you're just screaming from the bathroom.
You honestly should have just wore a diaper. Because you didn't. You stopped to pee 3 times, too?
Twice.
Wow.
Literally, in 3 hours, everything a baby does.
Honey, are you okay?
Your bottle was a beer. You had a bottle of beer. That was your bottle. You cried. You peed. You crapped. And then you went to bed.
And then you shared it with everyone in Pittsburgh.
I had my wife turn the shower on, too. Couldn't figure out the knobs. All right, Pat Bostick's going to join us. Coming up next, there's a million different things to get into with Pat, including the performance of number 8 for the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday. We'll get into it all. He'll be joining us for 3 hours. First, though, Fan Weather's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.